James Green is a celebrated labor historian and author of the book Death in the Haymarket. His new book is The Devil is Here in These Hills, a chronicle of West Virginia's coal miners and their fight for unionization and civil rights. The book is particularly relevant today as the battle for the rights of West Virginia miners rages on. Again, the title of the book is The Devil is Here in These Hills, West Virginia's Coal Miners and Their Battle for Freedom. James Green, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Joe.
What brought you to this particular subject and this particular time?
I've been a labor historian my whole career since I started writing history back around 1969 or 70. And in 1978, I went to cover a national strike, a wildcat strike, actually an unofficial strike by the whole union, the United Mine Workers of America. And that's where I went to West Virginia for the first time and got to know these miners and hear these amazing stories that they had to tell about the mine wars of the old days. And decades later, I came back to it and thought it would make a great book.
Because really, this story dates back to the late 1800s, 1870 or so.
Sure. Well, that's the beginning of the coal industry. It's I call it the first chapter is the Great West Virginia Coal Rush. You know, when all of this land, this beautiful mountainous forested land, was grabbed up by northeastern investors and foreign investors for the black gold that lay under those mountains, and they're still getting it out of there and blowing off the mountaintops in order to get it. So there's a big fight in West Virginia about mountaintop removal now.
Would you quickly move to what you refer to as the first mine war, and this is 1912 to 1918. So how did we come to a point of war?
Well, that's a long story, but I'll give you the short version of it. There was a simple demand that the miners in one area near Charleston made, which was to try to get a 10% increase, 10 cents actually, increase in the tonnage pay rate that the northern miners had, and the companies refused, and so they went out, and it ended up being the last offer was 2.5 cents a ton, and so they went out on strike, and everything seemed routine, you know, just a work stoppage. But then the employers started bringing in private guards, or gun thugs, as they're known in Appalachia by the miners, and that's what started the fighting, because these people felt like their communities, their valleys, were really being invaded by a foreign intruder. And the miners down there were well-armed and quite capable of fighting to get rid of these guards, which eventually they did. And after 13 months of struggle, they finally achieved a kind of victory against great odds.
You write in the prologue of the book, four governors of West Virginia bent the state's constitution to the breaking point in their efforts to suppress mine worker insurgency. Two presidents of the United States sent federal troops to halt the violence on several occasions. And this is all over unions, so why is it so vital for these political interests, ultimately, when you're talking about these some 80,000 workers?
It's remarkable in retrospect to think of all the state power and authority that was used, and from the miners' point of view, even the kind of state violence and oppression to try to suppress these folks who were fighting for better wages, working conditions, shorter hours, and most of all for First Amendment rights. But their strikes were such a threat to the industry, which is operating on a tough margin. They were trying to break in, these West Virginia coal operators, break into the northern trade and keep their prices low. And so the people in government were ready to do their bidding. Certainly the governor of West Virginia was, and created a situation of martial law, the likes of which we hadn't seen in this country for a long, long time, where people were arrested for reading newspapers and thrown in jail with no charges, and printing presses were smashed. And it created quite an outrage among liberals and progressives and radicals at the time. Walter Lippmann wrote about it, and many other important writers.
And I think what's fascinating in the book is you address that so often, that Appalachia is discounted because it's different and it's strange, and yet that so much of what we know about labor, so much that we know about the power of unions, when it comes to the actual interesting work and creativity that came into making this work out, it was quite a petri dish.
Right, it was. It was a real laboratory for, I think, that the labor movement at its most difficult situation of tremendous opposition in northern cities, in New York, in Boston, Chicago. There was public support. There was some sense of elected officials siding with unions. In West Virginia, it was just a raw battle, and it did inspire a lot of national attention. I mean, it's interesting that the song "Which Side Are You On?" comes out of Appalachia. The song "Solidarity Forever," which is the American labor movement's national anthem, that comes out of the West Virginia mine war. And of course, you have the incredible character of Mother Jones, the great 70-year-old agitator who went down there and made the miners' cause a national cause.
So what did the first mine war accomplish that ultimately set up a second?
The victory the Union claimed, and it was a victory given the tremendous odds, you know, the federal troops, the martial law, people being thrown in jail, use of private guards, they got freedom to organize and the freedom to express freedom of speech and assembly. And they also were able to get a promise from the operators, the employers, not to fire anybody who'd been on strike. But they didn't get union recognition. They had a base there south of Charleston, and they wanted to expand the union into the rest of West Virginia. And when they attempted to do that, the opposition was really fierce and very violent, and that triggered the Second Mine War. Your listeners may remember, some of them anyway, who are my age, the great film by John Sayles called Matewan, which is the sort of Kickstarter event for the Second Mine War, of the little sheriff of this little town having a shootout with these private mine guards. That was the beginning of the Second Mine War, all over the right to organize and the right to be represented by a union.
One of the things that I find fascinating about the story is obviously how relevant it is today. I mean, we still have this battle for rights of West Virginia miners. That rages on. And there have been recent indictments by a grand jury of those who operate companies in West Virginia. So this is really something that is still very much with us. And I'm curious as to what you think we can learn in reading this story. And ultimately, will this always in some way be a war and be a fight?
Right. Well, one hopes that the war will come to an end. I mean, it's still being fought, though you're right, maybe not with Thompson submachine guns and carbines, but being fought in the courts, being fought in forms of all kinds of intimidation, being, you know, laws being ignored. I mean, the big indictment that you're referring to, I think, is of Don Blankenship, who is CEO of Massey Energy. You know, is indicted for willfully violating federal safety laws. And so this is a kind of war as well. You know, Jesse Jackson back in the 80s when he was running for president called this economic violence. And Appalachians are still the victims of various kinds of economic and environmental violence. So I think what the union wanted was peace and the end to the war. And the book ends in 1933 in the first spring of the New Deal when a peace treaty is finally signed, and this introduces a period of several decades when Appalachian miners and their employers develop a working relationship, and those communities prosper, and unfortunately, those days came to an end. So the war goes on in other terms. A Cold War, you might say, is still going on. And you have people fighting to save the environment now as well, including former miners who said it's one thing to go down into the earth and bring out the coal. It's another thing to destroy these mountains we love so much, these beautiful, beautiful mountains.
And as you said at the beginning of our conversation, and I mentioned it in the introduction, that you're a labor historian. So when we look at this story in relations to the history of labor in this country, where does that fit in? Is it very much a focal point and a good example of labor relations and the history of labor relations in this country? Or is it set aside as an apples and oranges comparison in some way?
Right. Well, first of all, coal miners have been, we call them the shock troops of the American labor movement. They've always been out there at the forefront in the toughest fights and the toughest battles. Curiously, though, these mine wars in West Virginia have been all but ignored, even by labor historians, which I explore that in the book, why that might be the case. I think it's just a general kind of ignorance about Appalachian culture and history that prevails around the country outside of that region. I'm trying to help change that. And I think part of the problem is it just the mine wars were so violent and so protracted. Coming in the early 1920s and the progressive era, when it was an optimistic time in the country, people couldn't really compute how this fit in with the American story. And yet, what I try to argue in the book is that this is a very American story, and it's kind of a dirty secret, I'm afraid, how much violence there has been in our past just as a result of people fighting for basic First Amendment rights. We know this story in African American history. But what's not so well known is this sort of role in working class history.
The book is fascinating. It is The Devil Is Here in These Hills. It is published by Grove Atlantic. James Green, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
Thank you very much.
Again, the title of the book, The Devil Is Here in These Hills, West Virginia's Coal Miners and Their Battle for Freedom. The book is published by Grove Atlantic. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.